We would like to welcome the radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. What a beautiful Pentecost Sunday, and we'd like to thank Jim and Joyce Fouts for sponsoring our radio ministry today in honor of their anniversary. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Come join us on June 17th for our next community meal. This is open to all our community free of charge. We are having tacos, nacho cheese and chips, and cookies. So please come and join us at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour, from 5 to 7 p.m. for good food and fellowship. And now if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3 through 13, that is our verse for the day. That is on page 1136 in your pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 13. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And now we will have our sermon, The Gifted, by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
I absolutely love Pentecost. It is my favorite holiday. Wouldn't you know it? Being a preacher, the birth of the church would be my favorite holiday. This is the day that the dove, the Holy Spirit, descended upon the world. The disciples were emboldened. They were given courage to preach the word, to do gifts and signs and wonders in the world. 120 people from all different countries gathered together in Jerusalem, and so many more were out there. But this 120 prayed, and those prayers were fruitful. 3,000 people came to the Lord Jesus through the baptism of water and Spirit. I can't even imagine 120 at one time, let alone 3,000 baptisms. What a marvelous thing to celebrate. That symbol that I showed the kids, the cross and the flame, came about because of the birth of the United Methodist Church. And even though our denomination is going through all kinds of struggles and divisions, I am proud to be a United Methodist. When the United Brethren Church and the Methodist Church came together, they began seeking a symbol that would represent both of the traditions. And after about 24 failed attempts to come up with the symbol, they hit upon the symbol of the cross, God's love for all people through Jesus Christ's work upon the cross. And then the flame, one single flame with two tongues, representing the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit imparted upon the church. I love the way that Gary Dyer says it. He says that those twin flames are the Holy Spirit and the congregation in each church that it is posted outside of. And I'm going to go with that. Johnny Spivey, the pastor at Cornerstone Community Church, every time he gets ready to speak or preach at the jail, he says, Holy Spirit activate. The man even has a little dance that goes along with it. I'm not going to do his little dance. But I do have a prayer that I pray will breathe fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh life into us. Please join me and the Holy Spirit in prayer. God of wind and fire, embolden us this day to receive your Spirit, your gifts, and your power. Help us to proclaim the wondrous things that you have done and the things that you continue to do in all of our lives, in our church, and in our community. Give us strength and courage to share the good news of your love and your presence. Help us to come together to form one body in love and in unity. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you ask me, a sermon should have one main point. Now, I know a lot of you grew up with the three-point sermon. I'm not too good with that. I tend to get lost and forget one of the points. My preaching professor taught me that you should be able to sum up what you want to say to the congregation in one or two lines. And then you should make it clear to them what their response should be. So lest you miss it this morning, this sermon is saying that the most important church that we can belong to is a charismatic church. And our response to that should be, as our closing hymn says, to pass that fire on. Now, don't get lost in the word charismatic, because I'm not talking about holy rollers running around the church or people standing up and speaking in tongues. There's a place in some churches for that. But that is not what I'm talking about. No doubt many people have been confused when I brought this up again. A few years ago, when I first got here, I went to a Christian bookstore back in Odon, Indiana. As I was at that bookstore, the clerk told someone that I was a pastor. And that person came up to me and said, I'm kind of new in your area up there in Seymour, and I'm looking for a church, but it has to be a charismatic church. I said, well, you ought to come and worship with us. We're gifted. We're charismatic. But she kind of looked at me for a minute, and she said, you can't be serious. I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. I'm serious. And she says, do you have faith healings in your church? And I said, well, yes, ma'am, we do. But we don't make a big deal out of it. Because after all, it is God that does the healing, not us. We pray, and we are obedient because God calls us to pray one for another, even though he already knows what we're going to be praying about. But he is the one that is doing the healing. So she looks at me and she says, do you have people that stand up in the middle of the service and speak in tongues? I said, well, no, ma'am. I'm thinking that most of my congregation would find that just a little bit intrusive, and they'd be a little confused by it. Now, sometimes during ad council, our secretary over there, our treasurer, starts about things that none of us understand. But she's not speaking in tongues. She's simply trying to explain the budget to us. And by the way, Beth, I don't think I've ever figured it out all the way. And then this woman looks at me and she says, "Do you have strange manifestations of the Spirit in your church?" And I said, "We have a few quirky church members, if that's what you mean, headed by the quirkiest of all." She said, "I thought you said you were a Pentecostal church." I said, "No, ma'am, I didn't. We're Methodist." She said, "Well, you can't be charismatic then." And she huffed and she stomped away. And I looked at the lady behind the counter and I said, "What does she know?" We are indeed charismatic. A friend of mine took me to church for the first time. I'm sure you've heard me talk about this. His name was Ed. And he asked me if I wanted to go to church with him that Sunday. And I still, to this day, swear that I said no. And he stood there smiling at me. And he said, "What time shall I pick you up?" I'm always blaming him. Every time something amazing happens to me, every time something good happens to one of my churches, I tell him, "You started all this." Well, he heard that my daughter wasn't doing good, and he FaceTimed me yesterday. And he began asking me what my message was about. I'm not sure why. He said, "Give it a trial run, just sum it up for me." I thought, "What's up, Ed? Do you want to stay home tomorrow? And that's why you're asking for a sermon?" So I told him, "Any church worth belonging to is charismatic." He raised his eyebrow up and he gave me that same look that he always gives me every time I tell him, "You started all this." He's like, "Don't blame me for this." But then he said, "Oh, wait a minute. You don't mean charismatic. You mean charisma charismatic." I said, "No, I actually mean charismatic." He said, "Well, you should tell them about a church filled with charisma. Because isn't that why people go to church? They like the pastor. They like the fellowship and the congregation. It's got a certain sparkle to it. There's a certain feeling there." And I'm thinking to myself, "No, Ed, they ought to go to church because they believe in the Word of God. They believe in gathering together in corporate worship and corporate prayer." And he says, "Well, good luck with that, Angel." And I told him, "Ed, do you know that the Christian tradition is not the only tradition that believes in ecstatic utterances or speaking in tongues? The Hindus believe in it. The Muslims believe in it. African folk religions believe in it. They also believe in signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Spirit being given to the church. But you know what people tend to forget when they hear the passage that we heard this morning? Each and every one of those gifts are given for the common good of the church. They are not deposited in a person solely for that person's private use. Every one of the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, knowledge, wisdom, healing, faith, prophecy, are given for the benefit of the church as a whole. People often don't understand the gifts of the Spirit. Take prophecy, for example. People think that that is like some magic crystal ball or the reading of your palm. It is telling the future. Well, a prophet does, at times, speak for things that will come because God has told them to. But the gift of prophecy is being God's mouthpiece and speaking forth to the audience that you are assigned to God's word in a way that they can understand it. By this point, a dyed-in-the-wool Methodist like me might be getting a little nervous. I mean, what if these spiritual experiences get out of hand? Well, not to worry. After all, Paul is the one that coined the phrase, "Let all things be done decently and in order." 1 Corinthians 14:40. It is a favorite verse of our very methodical denomination. You see, Paul knows that if spiritual things get out of hand, the answer is not laying down a bunch of rules and regulations. No, it is to offer sound doctrine and sound theology. Paul said that he couldn't deal with spiritual experiences without talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismata, plural. You see, there isn't just one gift of the Holy Spirit. There are many gifts of the Holy Spirit. Depending on whether you're reading in Romans or Corinthians, there can be up to 12 of them. And each one of those gifts is given to someone in the body of the church to further develop. Faith is something that we can all have. But the gift of faith needs to be further developed. And when you pray in true faith, our God hears and responds to that prayer. When you give a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that that came from God, it has benefit on the entire congregation. Paul said, "Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of services, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone." 1 Corinthians 12:4. Spirit, Lord, God. That is the Holy Trinity. Paul has it kind of out of order, at least for us, because we usually say God the Father, Christ is Lord, or Christ the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my best friend. I wake up in the morning, at least most mornings, when I'm not grouchy or tired, and I say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And I invite the Holy Spirit into my heart, into my mind, to captivate me as a whole, to work through me, to love through me, to talk through me, to make sure that my actions are sanctified in the Holy Spirit. I don't always accomplish it, beloved. People like Terry and Mary Ellen and whatnot, Ron most definitely, know that I don't always accomplish it. But when my heart is in the right place, the Holy Spirit can do great works through me to comfort others. The other day I told Kathy I was so grateful that she put our phone number on the door outside. I'd gone to the washroom and I didn't hear the doorbell ringing. But this person saw the phone number on the door and decided to call. I'd come out and I'd answered the phone in time, so I went downstairs and there was a young man, 20, 21 years old, standing there. He said, "Can I help you?" He said, "I hope so. I just left work and my boss told me to go and talk to somebody. You see, I don't want to live anymore. I want to die." took a deep breath, and I silently asked the Holy Spirit to work through me, to talk through me, to give this young man something that he could hang on to, and I brought him upstairs. I had Abby with me, and that turned out to be a good thing, because him loving on that little dog brought life back into him. He said, I've only worked there for 2 days, but my boss said that he understood. I started crying. He was watching me. And when he came up to talk to me, I jumped in my car and I was going to take off. But he came up to me and he stopped me. He said, please, please stop. I am a recovering addict. And I've been where you've been. And I told him that I wanted to die. And he said, please go and talk to someone. The young man said, I didn't know who to talk to. But because he had been here before and accessed our pantry, he remembered meeting me. And he thought, well, I'm going to go there and talk to her. I called Centerstone. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I got angry because I asked if he could talk to a therapist there. And they couldn't free anybody up. They gave me a number for Stride in Columbus. Thankfully, I've been trained. I know what to do. I knew how to help the young man. I wrote down numbers for him. I got his phone number. I got his address. I followed up with him. But because that phone number was on the door, and because I asked the Holy Spirit to speak to him, he left here in tears of joy. And he knew that he was loved by God. That is how the Holy Spirit works through each one of us. I had a man tell me one time, you know, something happened to me recently. I'm almost 50 years old, and I never knew this about myself. He said, but lately, I can tell when people are really upset or bothered or worried. It started off with a coworker. I just knew that she was upset. Then I saw a sales clerk with her eyebrows furrowed. He said, I began praying for these people. And every once in a while, God gives me something tangible to do for them. Sometimes it's as simple as smiling at somebody in the store. Sometimes it's as simple as saying hello. Other times it's a bit more complicated. It's taking a deep breath and asking the Holy Spirit to speak through you so that a person wants to continue to live. Say what you want. But I believe these are charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul would call a gift of the Holy Spirit a charismatic gift because the Greek word for gift is charisma. So you see, the only church worth being part of, worth belonging to, worth committing to is a church that has charisma, a church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, there are a variety of services to the same Lord. The way to tell if it is a gift of the Holy Spirit is to see whether or not the person is using that gift in their community. Because as I said, each and every gift of the Holy Spirit is meant to be used in community. Paul is writing a letter to the church at Corinth. This church is in disarray. There's only about 50 people who attend there, but they are at each other's throats. They are fighting over political things, over sexual ethics. They are fighting, of all things, over who should and who should not receive the Lord's Supper. Christ meant the Lord's Supper to be for everyone. I'm so glad our table is open to everyone. There are people in that Corinthian church and in churches today who think they are more spiritual than other people. They quote scripture and they think that they're better than others. Well, Paul warns us of spiritual one-upsmanship, and he tells us that we are all part of one body. No one is better than the other. I pause when it comes to spiritual experiences to warn us that some people like to get as mystical as possible. I kind of get that, actually. I just told my best friend I refuse to relegate the Holy Spirit into a little box that's all tied up neatly and logical. The Holy Spirit works in ways that many of us cannot understand. But people say things like, Jesus lives in my heart, or my heart is strangely warmed, or if you ask me how I know he lives in my heart. But they forget that Jesus, the living Word, came wrapped in flesh to show us the way to live. The Holy Spirit works through our minds, through our hearts, and through our spirits. There are a variety of activities, but the same God is over all of those activities. All things come from God, and all things are activated and energized by God. And to God, all things will return. Paul points us beyond our little bitty activities to the grand scheme of things, what God is really doing in the world. We cannot talk about the gifts of the Spirit without talking about serving Jesus Christ. And we cannot talk about serving Jesus Christ without contending with God the Creator, who spoke the universe into being. You see, in the realm of the Spirit, there is no private world and public world. We are called to be authentic, to be real, to be true disciples of Jesus Christ at all times, willing and ready for the Holy Spirit to work through us, from God and through God and to God all things. To God be the glory forever. Our song of response says, set a fire down in my soul. Set a fire that I cannot control. Light me on fire. It says there's no place that I would rather be than in the church among God's people. And then our closing hymn is an old song I know all of you know. Pass it on. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. I love listening to her brother preach, or even just get up and speak at some of the Unity Service meetings. He talks about Seymour being a city for God. Let's unite in prayer. Let's unite in service. Let's set a fire deep in our souls, one that cannot be controlled, and take Seymour back for God.